Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And we're going to talk about wins and losses.
Oh, boy.
We're going to talk about wins and losses. I found myself in a conversation, and it was over, I guess, what win total you'd be satisfied with. And this all kind of revolves around, I think Mike G made a couple of, appearances on some shit.
You can say about Mike G. It was performances. It's okay.
No. Appearances on Jocks and a couple other places. And he made the statement that he felt like anything less than 8-4 would be a disappointment, and that's led to a lot of conversation in the Auburn sphere. So I'm going to start off by asking you if you agree with that statement. Is anything less than 8-4 a disappointment when looking at the schedule?
Personally, yes. I think as an Auburn fan base, if Auburn gets to 7 wins, I think they ought to be super happy. The fan base in general, but that's basically I got two answers. I got my answer just because I look at the you and I have done this exercise where you look at the head to heads.
Yeah,
and I just think that Auburn has got. I think they have 9 wins on their schedule, and so. To me, yes, less than 8-4 personally, just because of my personal picks that I've made, would be a disappointment because I really see 9 wins. And so 8 would put them about probably where they need to be because that would be me basically overbooking. But with Auburn getting 5 wins these last few years, I think if they get to 7, that's a great building block and opportunity that – you can be disappointed, but I don't know that you just feel like it's a failure of a season if you get to 7 wins.
That's actually a good comparison or a good word choice that you just used.
Okay.
Disappointment versus failure.
Yes.
I actually, nobody's put it that way in this conversation. And I actually really, really like that. I think you can look at 7-5 and be disappointed and it not be a total failure. I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because I was just going to go with disappointed. But I think it's okay to be – I think it's okay if you're disappointed, but there's still potentially some hope in the future.
Yes.
I don't think 7-5 means there's no hope in the future.
That's the thing is when you say failure, you saying 7-5, I mean, we all act like that's not better than what we've seen the last 3 seasons.
I don't like that argument. I don't care
our record. I don't either, but that's essentially what the fan base looks
because this situation, this roster now is not the same situation that the roster was 3 years ago. Like this is a better situation. So right off the bat, like if Auburn goes 6-6, hey, that's one win better than it's been. Yeah. You know, do you say, man, you should be happy with that? We should be happy fist pump because of the, I hate that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, my point in somewhat agreeing with what Mike G was saying and some others that, you know, 7 wins would be a disappointment, is that I think potentially I overvalue this roster. Like potentially I think too highly of Byron Brown. It's really hard for me to think about.
You should. Like that's the thing that I keep arguing with everybody that says, well, you're putting a lot of weight into it. Yeah. Like when you look at the quarterbacks, the transfer quarterbacks that went to various teams during the offseason, he's a good get. No matter what team he would have gone to, he would have gone and started even if it hadn't have been Auburn. If they were looking for, if LSU doesn't get Levitt and they get Byron Brown, guess who the starting quarterback in LSU is? Byron Brown. If Levitt
potentially, or Miami, if the goal is if Golish stayed at South Florida, I think he probably is Miami's quarterback. Yes. Like that, that could very well be the case.
He was entering the portal before the Golish decision. Like he was going somewhere.
Yeah, he had to.
So, I can't stand, and this came out of media days too, where people, that comment has been made where you're putting a lot of weight into Byron Brown. You daggone Skippy, I am. Like, he's put up 3,000 and 1,000 the last 3 years. He's beaten Florida, who everybody two out of the last 3 years. He's beaten Florida, who everybody keeps saying, man, watch out for Florida. They got a returning defense. Yeah, guess who beat them last year? Guess who beat the returning defense last year? So I think that it's okay to put a lot of your marbles in the camp of Byron Brown and a lot of your marbles in the camp of DJ Durkin in this defense. I think that that's when people go, you're kind of pushing that a little much. Yeah, I am. Like, that's the two things that I think are standouts for Auburn going into this season.
So let me ask you this, Ben. So let's assume Auburn goes 7-5. Okay. And don't ask like context around it, like who we lost to or whatever. How do you think, or what's going to be the reason why Auburn loses five games? Like, what, if you had to guess right now, what would you say? You would say this is the reason Auburn loses five games.
I would say inability to convert on third downs and inability to execute in close games.
Okay.
Because I think every
game – that was a lot more specific. Are you talking about like third and short, third and long, or just third down in general? Because I think Byron Brown should be a
– I think just – I'm going to go in general, inability to execute in close games, whether it be a late interception, whether it be a late turnover, putting the ball on the ground, you know, on a drive, whether it be a missed field goal to end the game. Because I think when you look at the schedule, Auburn should be in every game. There should not be a blowout. The defense should keep them in every game. And barring injury, Byron Brown and the running back room and, you know, staying healthy, I think that Auburn should be in every – because the defense is going to put the offense in a much shorter field position than probably what they've been used to. So if they don't shoot themselves in the foot and they execute, only thing that keeps them from going past seven is going to be the inability to execute during a close game, such as a late turnover or defensively giving up a big play that they shouldn't.
So that would be a
third and short that turns into a slant that goes to the house. You know what I mean?
That was not the route that I thought you would go.
Okay.
And that would actually be extremely concerning if that's why we lose five games. And I guess my follow-up question would be, if that's the case, how does that get fixed in 1 year?
I know.
Because
that I don't have an answer to.
So that's why I was thinking more along the lines of, you would be like, offensive line doesn't hold up, or, you know, we can't create pass rush or things like that. I kind of felt like if it's execution issues, I would say you probably need to get rid of the coaching staff if they can't execute. You know what I mean? Like,
after year one, I'm not really ready to throw them out yet. But let's take that example you just used, offensive line, for example.
Okay.
I know that it's not where it needs to be. I understand that. The X factor goes back to what I just said moments ago, Byron Brown. A mobile quarterback fixes a lot of problems on an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And so, not to mention, he's fairly decent at throwing on the runs, even if he breaks pocket, breaks containment. He's still got his eyes downfield, so there's still options there. He can either run it, pick up 4 or 5 yards, or he's going to fall forward. I mean, is he going to get sacked? Yes. I'm not stupid enough to think that he's just going to go, you know, sackless the entire time that he's out there. But he's going to get taken down in the backfield because there's going to be some blown coverages across the offensive line. But I don't put a lot of – I don't put as much weight as everybody goes, man, we got to fix that offensive line. I'm like, yeah, we got a pretty good backfield and we got a pretty good quarterback. Like, that's going to make them look good on some instances.
And then scheme, I mean, in theory, your scheme can, you can scheme to protect.
Yes.
You know, around, you can protect your offensive line, which is kind of funny to think about protecting the offensive line when it's their job to protect. But I think adequate coaching, you know, probably disguises the deficiencies.
Because I don't mean to talk bad about him, Kyle, because clearly I've seen what the defense can do and I've seen how they work for him. However, as an Auburn fan, this third and long crap has got to stop. And I think that that could turn around and bite us in third down situations defensively, where out of those five games, we give up too many third down plays to extend drives or do something stupid like a pass interference or a hold in the defensive backfield or hands to the face, you know, up on the line, like something that keeps a drive going. If they can play discipline, they'll win so many more football games than quote unquote flying all over the field. And because it just seems like Auburn, at the most inopportune times, when you think you got somebody right where you want them, a third and 12 turns into a first and 10, and it just royally gets my goat.
Where do you think Auburn ranked last year in the conference as far as third down, opponent third down conversions?
I'd probably say right around middle of the pack.
Or sixth.
There you go.
So a little bit better than middle of the pack. I think timing may matter, but I thought they were fine. Let me back up. The defense gave the offense the ball enough times to go win.
Agreed.
Period. So I don't know that there's like a malignant issue there on third down. And also, you got to take into account the fact that potentially that was what was being directed by the head coach. Hey, we're going to go super conservative and make them have to drive the whole field. And I believe that there's been, you know, straight from Alex Golis's mouth, that they're going to be a lot more attacking, a lot more about taking chances and taking risks to create turnovers and extra possessions. So I'm not really concerned about that so very much. The whole point of this exercise is that if 7-5 is great, or let's say if you go 7-5, that means you probably lost five games against the teams that you were not favored against.
Correct.
You probably beat nobody that you shouldn't have beat. Maybe Florida. If Florida's a slight favorite or a pick 'em, that could be a game that you could maybe chalk up as, hey, we won that was a good one. You know, that's a good one. You'll have to see how the rest of their year plays out. But that would mean you essentially beat nobody that's really a playoff competitive level team on your schedule. And this is my concern is, and maybe I'm wrong here, I think I overvalue how talented this roster is. When I look at, you know, look at the linebackers, look at that safety room, I think there's talent at corner that can replace just as good as the corners were last year.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Defensive line, there's maybe only a step back in proven production, but I think there's talent there. I know there's talent there on paper.
Right.
On the defensive line. And then you shift over to the offense. And I think the only thing you maybe lack on offense versus last year is maybe like a true game changer at wide receiver. I don't know. Everything that we have there is just going to be system related. Like production is just, we're banking on the fact that those guys plus the system plus the experience is going to create more productions out of the wide receivers. Because I know a lot of people are like, well, we had that last year and we weren't any good. I say all that to say, I find it hard when you lose Byron Brown after this year because of how highly I think of him. I find it hard to like find the pathway that Auburn gets markedly better in 2027, I guess, 2027. Yeah. So, like, people say, well, high school class. Well, do you think, Ben, do you think that this 2027 class
I know where you're going
makes the 2027 roster better, like creates more wins? Like, where are you going to be able to add and pick from the portal to make this roster that much more better? Not, I don't think it's going to be at quarterback. Like, you may, I hope it's just you find somebody just as good.
I hope it's a transition, not a
now, startup. Now, you could argue that when you hire a new coach, there's such little time to be able to manage the roster that potentially they leaned a little bit more on South Florida guys because of how easy it was, and there are some guys that can play.
Yeah.
Versus like a full off season of, let's just call it what it is. I know they're going to be watching players on other teams. Like, they're going to be doing it. They're going to have a better idea of what they need, who's going to leave, who's going to come back, and so on and so forth. So you could argue that maybe with another year under their belt and more time to prepare, they can have a better portal haul, maybe. And that make next year's roster better. And then there's also some sophomores. This team's going to have some really good sophomores that are going to be juniors next year. So
hold on, let me go back to what you just said. I don't think that's necessarily making an argument. I think that now that he's here and he sees the need, I think he better have a better portal pull. I think he needs to have a good portal pull in the offseason. And the reason being is because you already know as a head coach, now that you're going to be here a year at that point, you know what you're losing, you know what you need. So I think you should have a better portal pull, which would help the 2027. Those who talk about, you just mentioned the freshman coming in. No, that you may have, what, one or two that could be impactful right away, but the rest.
Did they make you better?
Well, you said it best. It's not that they make you better. Did they make you any wins better?
There you go.
I don't think that necessarily is the case. Did they make you better? Yeah. Can the defensive line be better? Yes.
They give you depth, good depth for the future.
Does it accumulate wins on the outs? I don't think that any of them walk in and we're two wins better because of
– Or one.
Or one win. One win better. So that's a key point. When you make that statement, I'm glad you quantified the fact that does it make you wins better? Not does it make you better. I mean, we could have – three deep at all the defensive back positions, and that makes us better. But does it make us wins better? That's a big difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. What do y'all think? Is would you be if Auburn ends up 7-5? Are you excited? Are you ecstatic? Are you just eh? Or are you disappointed? Or do you think it's a failure? I personally think that I would be a little bit disappointed. But I don't think it's a failure. I think six or less would be a failure.
Yes. I agree with that.
Is that fair?
No, that's fair because when you look at it, you got to – like the games that they're probably not going to be favored in are going to be Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, and Alabama. So if they drop those, there's your four. But that means you got to win everything else. And then, as we just said, Florida's going to be a pick 'em. So you're either looking at probably 8-4 and hope that you hope that they upset one of those teams, or you're looking at 7-5. So, because I mean, we should not be having discussions about Southern Miss. We shouldn't be having discussions about Baylor. Looking at what Arkansas has, Samford, we shouldn't be talking about those things. Mississippi State, same thing. I mean, every one of those guys are down. So those are game. Like, if you lose one of those, then the failure portion starts coming into my.
Well, if you go 6-6, then you will have had to have lost one of those games.
Yes, exactly.
So then, if you go seven and five, that means you would, like you mentioned, Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Okay. That's your five.
Yep.
I just think you need to win one of those.
I do too. I do too.
Otherwise, it's probably going to be a disappointment. I mean, it's going to be disappointing to me.
It's going to be disappointing. It's not going to be a failure, but it's going to be disappointing.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Disappointment, but not failure. You can rebound from, you can build off of it, but it's still a little bit off of where you want to be. And I know Golish would probably say if we don't win all of them, it's a disappointment.
Yeah.
But I want to try to be at least somewhat rational about
it. Well, that's another reason I use that analogy is because I do have us going with 9 wins. So at 7, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm probably going to be a little disappointed at 8 because I kind of want us to knock off one of those teams that you're talking about. So I got us at 9 wins.
Yeah.
But failure, that's dipping down into the 6 or less category because we've gotten beaten by Mississippi State or Arkansas, which we, you know, those, that shouldn't happen. So that's a failure.
Yeah.
And that's something you can use with kids, Kyle. You disappointed me, but you're not a failure.
Yeah. There you go. Well, let us know what you think. We'll talk again very, very soon. Ben, let's get out of here. War Eagle, everybody.
War damn Eagle.